If you look in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, look in chapter number 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10 in Exodus chapter 2 and preach about a mother's reward. Exodus chapter 2 and verse number 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." This story is one of the greatest stories that's ever been written. It describes some of the greatest events in human history. It's a rather simple story, really, of a Hebrew princess going down to the Nile River's edge and finding a little basket, we would call today, and finding a little baby inside. And she had compassion, the Bible says, on the child. And she took him for her own son. And she called his name Moses, because she took him from the water. Now, that's about all we need to say about the Egyptian princess. But the child's mother, Moses' mother, Jochebed was her name. The story now turns not so much about the princess, but about Moses' mother. Now, when the princess opened up that little basket and saw that baby, and the Bible says he wept, that baby stole her heart. Now, this woman had a mother's heart. We know that she did, because she had compassion on the child and took him and raised him as her own. But she said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Now, that didn't matter to her. It was a baby. It was a little baby boy. And this baby boy needed someone to love him and care for him and raise him. So she took him as her own son. Now we turn to the main story about Moses and his mother. The Bible says there was a man of the tribe of Levi who took to wife a daughter of Levi, where her name was Jochebed. And you got to know something about the tribe of Levi. You see, the tribe of Levi was a priestly tribe that God had set aside to be priest unto the nation of Israel. So Moses was already born to a, I guess you'd say, a path of greatness because of the tribe into which he was born. But how did Moses' mother get to be the central figure in this story before us? Her life, we're going to see shortly, ladies, is a great testimony for all mothers today, and a great witness to all women today who shall possibly someday become a mother. She's one of the greatest mothers of all time. Indeed, she is. Well, the story's recorded here for us to enjoy. I see three great events in the life of Moses' mother that we need to see things we need to look at today and understand, get some understanding from, I want to look at those things with you. Three important grave matters, as she was an example to all ladies today. So let us just allow God's Word to speak to our heart from the pages of God's Word and show us these events that took place in her life. And I'm sure after we've heard the story, just in brief form, I'm sure that every one of you mothers would want to, and all ladies would want to, pattern their life and imitate the life that his mother lived, and a good example that she gave, and a good testimony to others. So allow me to share those three events, three major events in her life. First of all, I want you to see something. Moses' mother faced a great opposition. Now, she realized it. Now, listen. Moses was born in troubled times in Israel. Now, you see, the Pharaoh, the current Pharaoh of that day, took notice of how the Hebrews were multiplying, their population just growing just by great speeds. And he began to fear that if the population of the Jews or the Hebrews kept growing, that possibly one day he might face a rebellion of all those slaves. So he makes a law, and he says, every Hebrew boy that's born either must be one of two things. He must be killed at birth, or he must be cast into the Nile River to drown. Now, that's a situation that Moses was born into. Now, this killing all the Hebrew baby boys, the Pharaoh thought would just solve this population problem that he saw growing by leaps and bounds. Now we come to Moses' birth. Moses' mother had him, and she knew what she was facing. She knew the decree, the law that the Pharaoh had made. She knew that when Moses was born, listen folks, Moses was born with a death sentence on his life. We'd say today a contract, you might say, on his death. He was born that way. But his mother saw that he was a goodly child, and she was determined with all that was within her that what had happened to countless many other Hebrew baby boys was not going to happen to her son. So what did she do? She had him. Listen, she didn't abort him. She had him, and she hid him in the home for, the Bible says, 3 months. And we all know how quickly babies grow, and we know how many times babies cry, and they make a lot of noise sometimes. And so she protected him for 3 months. And so the time soon came that she knew that she could no longer protect him in the home. She could no more hide him in the home. So what did she do? I'm sure she sought the Lord, and the Lord gave her a plan by which he had saved Moses. She was to make a little ark, the Bible says, or we'd call it a little small boat or a little basket. The Bible says that she daubed it without with slime and pitch, and she lined it with some kind of cloth, and she placed baby Moses in that little ark or ship or little basket, and she took it down to the Nile River, to the river's edge, and she placed her son in the edge of the Nile River. Don't you know, ladies, it broke that mother's heart to have to do that? But she lovingly, obeying God, put him in the river's edge, leaving him, putting him in the hands of God to let God do with her son what God wanted to do. Listen to me carefully. Just like Pharaoh was against all the Hebrews and tried to kill all the baby boys, beloved, listen, the world's against your children today. If the world can get you to abort them before they're born and kill them, that's their ultimate goal. But if you have your children and you attempt to raise your children, here's what the world's going to do. If the world can't kill them before they're born, the world will abduct them, put them into some kind of forced situations. They'll abduct your children. They'll attack your children. And they'll take your children. And ultimately, the world wants to kill your children today. It appalls me that our nation so little has any value on life anymore. Ladies, listen to me. When God gives you a blessed privilege of being a mother, you protect your child with all that is within you. You do all you can do to protect that child. And some point in time, you're going to have to let your child be given over into the hands of God to let God do with them what He wants to do. That's the opposition that Moses' mother faced. I know, ladies, we don't face that opposition of that sort today. But you do face similar opposition, don't you? From the world in which we live today, we live in a wicked, godless society that puts no value on children, born or unborn, for that matter. Never would I ever have thought in all my 74 years of living that I've lived, I'd ever see human trafficking with children as I'm seeing today. It breaks my heart. Oppositions all around us, you see. Just as it was with Moses' mother. Now, the opposition she faced, she realized it. Ladies, we need to realize that opposition is just as strong and just as real today as it was the day she faced it with Moses. So that's the first event that I see in her life. But there's a second event I see. Although she had opposition that she realized, she was given a God-given opportunity that she received, as the story goes on to say. As she placed Moses in the little basket in the edge of the river, Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe, and she spied the little basket in the edge of the bulrushes. And she had one of her maidens to go fetch it. And they brought it to her. Of course, she opened it, saw the baby, had compassion on it. And she said, "I'm going to take this child. Even though he's a Hebrew child, I'm going to take this child and I'm going to raise him for my own son." And it just so happened. Now, you know God brought it about. Moses' mother had placed Moses' sister, Miriam, down near the riverside to watch to see what would become of Moses. And so when Pharaoh's daughter opens the basket, sees a child, makes a decision she's going to keep the child, quickly, you notice, Miriam steps up. And this princess knew this baby was just a three-month-old, young child. He would need a nursemaid to care for him and to raise him. So Miriam comes up and she says, "Would you like for me to go find a Hebrew nursemaid for this child?" And the princess said, "Sure." So what does Miriam do? She goes back home. And she talks to Moses' mother, Jochebed. And she brings her to the princess. Now, I don't think the princess knew this was Moses' mother. I think all she knew was it was a Hebrew woman who would take care of this child. And she said, "You take this child for me. You take this child home and you raise this child for me as my son, and I will pay you wages." Wages indeed. God paid Moses' mother her wages. It wasn't some Egyptian princess. Do you see how God works in matters? Moses was condemned to die. Through the very inference of God's grace and mercy, he's now alive. And listen, he's now protected by the same people who had made a law to kill him. Amen. Now you tell me God wasn't working that. That's exactly what it was. So Moses goes back home with his mother. And as under his care and guidance, Moses' mother loves him. And she trains him. And she teaches him. And I'm sure at an early age, before he was taken back to the princess, I'm sure she let Moses know in no uncertain terms, "You're not an Egyptian. You're a Hebrew. I'm sure she taught him all about the law of God. She taught him about Jehovah God and the great plans that God had for his people. And she taught him all about the Hebrew way of life. You see, it's not a coincidence that the Bible records to us to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Later on in Moses' life, if you read the story of Moses, you'll see that to be a fact. Sometime later in Moses' life, in the book of Hebrews, it says, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but chose instead to suffer the affliction with God's people. So you see, all that you invest, ladies, in children, all the training, all the love, all the concern that you instill within them, you train them right, you bring them up right in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and I promise you, on the authority of God's Word, when they're old, they will not depart from it. Do you think Moses' mother had any idea of what God was going to do with Moses later on in his life? I'm sure she didn't know. Didn't have a clue. Ladies, listen, you don't know what kind of life your child's going to have. You don't have any way of knowing what God might do with your child when he or she grows up. So what do? You train them right, you love them, you bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and then you place them in God's hands to let God do with them whatever it is God wants to do with them. That's exactly what she did here. Listen, ladies, it's a great, awesome privilege that you have to be a mother. But along with that privilege comes a grave responsibility to bring up that child, bring up those children, to fear the Lord, to love the Lord, to obey the Lord as his mother did here. You know, if you've had any children, how you love them. We know who all had mothers. We know how much our mothers loved us. You've never had a better friend in your life than a godly mother. Amen. Listen, your mother will love you when you're up, but she'll still love you when you're down. She'll love you when you're good, and she'll love you when you're not so good. She'll love you when you're in or when you're out. In other words, what I'm saying is your mother's love will go with you to the end of her life, like it was with Jesus in John 13. Jesus in the world loved his own unto the end. If you've had a godly mother, you ought to praise God and shout the victory. Amen. I was fortunate to have a godly mother. My first remembrance of godly things came from my mother. I can remember my mother sitting, my brother, my sister, and I, sitting us down, opening up God's Word, and reading the Bible to us, telling us about who Jesus is and why he came to the earth and what he'd want to do in my life and their lives. And she'd sit down and read us the Bible, and she'd sing songs to us, and she'd read us Bible stories about Samson and Noah and all the great other great history of people in the Bible. You know, I've never forgot those things. I don't want to forget those things. I don't want to forget the love my mother showed to me until the day she went to be with the Lord. So listen, if you've got a godly mother, you're blessed indeed. And if you are a mother, you have a grave privilege and a great responsibility to train your children the way God would have them trained. So listen, mothers, seize the opportunity God's given you. You think Moses' mother didn't seize that opportunity that she was given? Sure she did. And so you see, if God's given you children, or if he'll give you children later in your life when you get married, listen, seize the opportunity. If we're ever going to have a Christian civilization, probably that's not going to happen, but if we would ever have a Christian civilization, the only way we're ever going to have it is through Christian homes. And there places the responsibility, of course, not just on mothers, fathers as well, but mothers and fathers, parents. Their opportunity and responsibility lays heavily upon us. So, she said, I'll pay you wages to raise this child for me. Now, we know later in life, if you ever studied Moses' life, you know he was presented back to the princess at some point in time. He was sent to the best schools that were available in the world in those days. He went to the University of Alexandria, the best university that there ever was in that day. He was trained in zoology and botany, and he's trained in science and military strategy. No man was even smarter than Moses. But it all goes back to his foundational training from his mother. He never, ever got away from that. But I said three things I wanted you to see about Moses' mother, her reward. The opposition that she faced was real. It was dire. The opportunity she received was unique, to say the least. But I want you to see the third thing about her. Her obedience to the Lord was indeed rewarded. She raised a man child, Moses, who made a difference, a huge, great difference in the whole wide world of that day. That was Moses. Later on, Moses was the leader to lead 2.5 million Jews out of Egyptian slavery. What a great man of God. Of all the great men of God throughout the many years of history, he'd have to be very near the top, wouldn't you say? What a great man Moses became. He became almost the beginning of the Hebrew nation, Israelites as we know them today. But he finally said, I refuse to be an Egyptian. I refuse the Egyptian's way. I refuse to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I am a Hebrew, and I choose to suffer the affliction of God's people along with my people. And God used him in such a great way and led them out of slavery. Listen, Moses then didn't turn back on his early teaching, did he? That teaching that says, train up this child the way he should go, and he's old, he'll not depart from it. He didn't depart from it, did he? You see this in Moses' life. You don't know, ladies, listen, what the child God's given you, the children God gives you, you don't know what they're going to grow up to be. It could be a person like Moses. There's any number of things God might do with your child. You don't have to worry about what God's going to do with them. Just give them to Him. He'll do what's right, and He'll do what's best, and He'll elevate them and promote them and bless them as it pleases Him, as He did here in the life of Moses. You don't know how God's going to use your children. My mother never knew I was going to be a preacher until later on in life. She couldn't have known. You can't know what God's going to do with your children. But you can know this. If you place them in His hands, He'll do what's best for them and what's right for them, and He'll get the glory and honor and praise. And listen, you'll get the reward. Her wages were indeed paid, but not by this Egyptian princess. Her wages were paid by the Lord Himself. Amen? Amen. And the Lord's going to bless you, ladies. He's going to bless you. He's going to reward you for all the training and love and things you go through with your children. You may have some difficult times and difficult days. You just keep right in there and be faithful. And I promise you, by your obedience to the Lord, God's going to bless you in due time. Just because she gave Moses back to God, look what a blessing came. Well, I believe a mother's greatest reward. I'm speaking from a father's viewpoint, but it's still, I think, the same with men as it is women. I think a mother's greatest reward is this, to see your child grow up and come to know the Lord as his or her personal Lord and Savior, and let God use them and bless them and make them a blessing to somebody else. Could there be a greater reward than that? I don't think so. Yes, her wages were paid, and they were paid by the Lord. So you see how important it is to be the right kind of mother? I want to close with this other side of the story. I want to tell you something about a family that didn't raise their child the way they should have. I want you to see the other side of this picture in closing. The story goes back to King David. King David had a son named Absalom. And they just let Absalom run free and run wild and do whatever he wanted to do. And the Bible says in 2 Samuel 18, go back and read it sometimes, that Absalom grew up as a young man and he just ran the roads in his chariot. He stole the hearts, the Bible says, of all the Israelites. And then he got so strong in his own self-will, he decided he's going to take over the kingdom. So he rebels against his father, and they go to war over the kingdom. The war's going on. David's at the palace up on the rooftop. He's just wanting to know something about how the war's going. So he looks in the distance and he sees a runner coming. And the runner comes and he says, "How goes the battle?" And this runner only said, "All goes well." Well, then he keeps looking and in the distance he sees another runner coming. And this other runner's named Cushai. And Cushai comes to the throne. And David asks, "How goes the battle?" Listen, and David said, "How is it with Absalom?" And here's what Cushai said. He said, "King, I would to God that all of David's enemies were like Absalom." What about Absalom? He was trying to take over his father's kingdom, going through a grove of oak trees on a mule. He had long hair, and his hair got caught in the limbs of an oak tree and jerked him off the mule, and there Absalom left hanging by his hair in an oak tree. So Joab's men come, 10 the Bible says, 10 of young men from Joab's army, found Absalom hanging in the tree, and they kill him. They take his body and they throw it in a ditch, and the news comes back to David of Absalom's death. And one of the most pitiful cries you could ever hear from a father hears David's words. He cries out, he says, "Absalom, Absalom, oh my son, Absalom, I would God that I had died in your place." Listen, parents, I can't express how important it is to raise your children right. Bring them to God's house. Expose them to God's word. Be with God's people. Train them up the way they ought to go. And you won't have an Absalom on your hands as King David did. So you see the rewards of a mother. They're great. Moses' mother. What great rewards. She faced her opposition. She accepted her opportunity God gave her. And she was obedient to the Lord, and God blessed her with a great, great man of God. One of the greatest men of all the Bible, rather than the Lord Jesus, was Moses. You know what? God may raise up one of your children to be like Moses, to be a great leader, maybe to be a president, maybe be a great preacher, great evangelist, great teacher. You don't have to wonder what they're going to be. Just give them to the Lord. But listen to me. Before you give your children to the Lord, you need to give your heart to the Lord. Amen. Every single one of us as a parent, we need to give our children to the Lord, yes. But we need to begin by the example before them of giving our lives to the Lord first. Then give our children to the Lord and give our families to the Lord. And God will take them. He'll make something great out of your family and mine. Now this closing is this. Today, you don't have to be a mother, but if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's where it begins. And if God and when God gives you children, give them back to the Lord. Give your family to the Lord. Let Him be the Lord of the household and Lord of your lives and Lord of your family. And I promise you, you'll reap rewards that you can't put a value on down in this life. Amen. Amen. Maybe you have been born again. You know you have. But maybe your home life hasn't been like it ought to be. Maybe it's time you relinquished your life and your family's life to the Lord once and for all. And take your hands off your life and give it to the Lord and give your children to the Lord. Come do that today. What a wonderful time that will be, not only now, but hereafter. Amen. Let's bow together and pray. Lord, I thank you for the example you give us in the Word of God of Moses' mother, how she loved you and loved him, gave him to you, and what a great man of God you made him. The Bible says of Moses, he was the meekest man on the face of the earth. Not weak, but meek. Meekness is strength under control. How you blessed him to be a blessing to others. We'd ask you, Lord, to take our children, make them a blessing to other people through Jesus Christ our Lord. Maybe there's someone here today, Lord, who needs to give their heart and life to the Lord and give their children, their families to the Lord. Help them to respond if you've spoken to their heart about that need in their life. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.